podcast that was Christmas.
Hello, and welcome to episode 57 of If This Is a Podcast, Then What's Christmas? Today, my guest is Robert McFall of Purpose Disruptors. He also works for Mindshare, but it's the Purpose Disruptors side of things that we're going to be discussing today. In case you're wondering who they are or what they do, they are a network of advertising insiders whose goal is to create a visible, large-scale, bottom-up movement within the industry that will act in solidarity to meaningfully tackle climate change. So we discussed that. I'm very, very much into the subject. If you haven't read the blog before coming to this episode, then fine, no problem at all. But this is something I'm very, very invested in entirely through both my own B Corp ethical advertising agency and organizations and situations that my wife and I have found ourselves in over the last few months. We can get into that perhaps in another episode. But there's some fascinating connections and disconnections between what advertising is, what it's able to do, how it's affected the climate crisis so far, how it's brought about much of the climate crisis so far, or a lot of the climate crisis so far, with spinning the wheel of capitalism a bit faster for a little bit more consumption than needed to happen, or rather an enormous amount more consumption than needed to happen. And what its role is now that the bill is due for that, that the consequences are going to prove problematic in ways that, you know, we probably can't even imagine at this stage. So I think as an industry, we need to look at the changes we're making, both with our current clients, both in who we take on and how we advertise them, and in how we are able to use our skills, abilities, resources to make a difference in the situation of climate change as well. So we discuss, obviously, a lot of this, and it's a very large and complicated subject. I was saying to my wife the other day, or maybe she was saying it to me, that this is the ultimate brief. Like, there's nothing either more important, more complicated, possibly more difficult, more crucial for anyone to have taken on in terms of communication or persuasion. So that being the case, have a listen to our little exploration in an hour of some of the issues. And if it piques your interest, please feel free to get in touch with me. I'm at bwmk@gmail.com or Robert through Purpose Disruptors. They're at purposedisruptors.org. And we'd love to have you aboard in the efforts we're trying to make. Otherwise, enjoy the episode. Hi, Rob. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me to this. We look forward to our conversation.
Great. So I wondered if it might just be a good place to start for you to give us some background to who you are and where you got to in terms of why we're kind of having a chat today, like your background in advertising.
Yeah, my journey to, I guess, understanding advertising's role in facing up to climate crisis and being part of the solution has been a bit of a long journey for me. I've been in advertising, fully working at Mindshare for about 6 years. Before that, I worked at a creative strategy place, worked in social innovation, but my strongest background is in qualitative research. So you can say I've got quite a sort of clash of careers. And it was a time when, about maybe eight, nine years ago, when my wife and I decided to take some time away from our sort of full-on London careers to go and work and live in Sierra Leone in West Africa. And for her, it was very much perhaps an easier path. Like, she's a doctor, she's a children's doctor, pediatrician, made a decision to do, first to do something similar to MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, and I went out there going, right, well, what can I do? What can I market? What can I advertise? What can I research? In this very post-conflict rural part of West Africa. And it was through the experience there where I connected with local entrepreneurs, local business people. Together, we ended up building a health centre out there. And it's through that experience I learned, I guess, the power of business, the power of creativity, power of entrepreneurship to be a force for good. And so when I came back to London, I sort of took that kind of experience, that kind of idea that business has more of a role to play than profit and sales and can generally make a difference in society. I sort of sat with that idea for quite a while. And it was when I came across a paper called The Purpose Turn by an organisation called the Comms Lab, who are now part of Purpose Disruptors or affiliated to Purpose Disruptors, led by Jonathan Wise and Ella Saltmarsh. They wrote this really compelling paper which put forward a strategic case for why advertising industry should make a shift from being very morally neutral to actually deciding what can it, how can it direct its creative and strategic firepower to be a force for good, and to ultimately direct its energy and its creativity in the face of the climate crisis. So it was through reading that and connecting with that, and the value of books and papers like that is, you know, you can put them in front of your CSO, you can put them in front of your CEO and go, look, you know, what do you think of this? I kind of agree with it. What do you think? And doing that very thing allowed me at Mindshare to sort of create the space, to hold the space, hold a practice, for us to start to think about what is it that Mindshare can do, what is it our industry can do, and how can we say, you know, if some of our leading clients have a social purpose, say like Unilever, you want to make sustainable living commonplace, you know, the question you have to ask yourself is, what is our agency's purpose in response to that? So it was through that, through sort of creating that space, we're going on a very sort of deep and involved learning journey on leadership courses and sustainability courses, really understanding the reality and the scale and urgency of climate science, to start to think about, you know, how can we make that shift in advertising? How can we sort of, like I was saying before, direct all our skills in shifting behaviours and leading on culture, to sort of tackle and mitigate climate crisis.
Can you give us an idea of the sort of timeline of that? Like, when did you read this paper, and how long have you been on this subject?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a long journey. So I read that paper back in 2016. Yeah, 2016 now. So maybe, and it's three, four years ago now. So for a lot of that time, it was very much trying to figure out, you know, what is it that we at Mindshare can do? The question was, what can I do from where I stand? And that was that is being in a mid-level role at a big network media agency. And sort of creating and starting this conversation with clients and with client leads and with people across the network to start to explore that question about how our industry can be more purposeful and responsible.
I was just going to say, from a media company point of view, obviously that's not necessarily the creative side, although probably things have been swinging a bit more in that direction in the last 10 years with people, you know, these roles kind of getting a bit more mixed up. So did you feel like you had the resources through Mindshare to do it, or were you thinking, how do we engage creative agencies in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first sort of often response has always been, that's always been the kind of the territory for the creative agencies, who often set the brand strategy, set the brand purpose. And so it was often a conversation in those earlier days was, what's the role of media in this space? How are you having that conversation? How can you influence the brand purpose or the brand strategy? So that was kind of very much early on in the conversation. But often the way we talked about it was how media is often, you know, a really powerful way to shift the behaviour and lead to action. If we can very loosely say creative talks about spreading a message or telling a story, media often, when it, when done well, it's about shifting behaviour and shifting an action. So that's kind of the space we were in those early days of figuring out what we were doing 2 or 3 years ago. But I was just going to say, Ben, sort of when we were in, it's only been more recently that we started to notice that there are lots of other people in our industry who are sort of holding these same questions about how, what can we do? How can we sort of respond to not just climate crisis, but you know, deep inequality we see in the world? How can we direct brand and business power to tackle those issues? And what we did last year or last summer was set up a network called Purpose Disruptors, which is very much sort of asking ourselves those questions and sharing ideas, sharing knowledge, sharing case studies, and sharing sort of how do we start having those conversations with our clients and with our teammates. And from what just started off as a pub meeting in a pub in Clerkenwell, with maybe 20 people, so suddenly grew to every month 30 people came, 40 people. It just started growing and growing, and so I started to realise this sort of desire in our industry to do more, to make that shift from being morally neutral to sort of responding to what we're seeing out there in culture and actually seeing out there in the world.
Would you say that's because the kind of sense I've got of that recently is more that there's been, I don't know, a tipping point or a shifting of I don't know, the significance of that conversation in society as things probably have been getting worse. I mean, I remember very clearly when I was working at Y&R in the mid-90s saying amongst, we were just drinking in the bar afterwards and after work, and I said, do you know that like 7 of the hottest years in history have happened in the last 10 years? Because I just read that the day before, and another one of the copywriters said, so? And I was like, does that not sound scary a little bit? But I think it was still quite remote in terms of where things were. And then clearly in the kind of 20 years in between then and now, or even 20 years between then and when, you know, you read that paper, it feels like there's been this overwhelming wealth of more and more evidence, more and more, you know, weather patterns, more and more science, more and more conversation in newspapers and things. And it feels like maybe the time became riper for people to feel like it was a conversation and a situation they needed to get involved with. People were talking about things like global warming and the ozone layer in the 80s. And now here we are when it feels like it's more front and center for people. And so did you get a sense of that being the case?
Totally. I talk about this idea that the signals around this are getting louder and they're getting stronger and more frequent. I mean, just sort of thinking about the last 4 weeks, the events that have happened, sort of we're seeing the Financial Times in a headline splash calling for a reset of capitalism. You know, that's just sort of, you couldn't imagine that 6 months ago. The kind of stuff that's happening is just sort of happening at an exponential rate. And it's fascinating for us like we've been thinking about this and working in this space for a number of years now, especially my colleagues Jonathan and Ella, who've been set up the Comms Lab, we've been thinking about this for the last 10 years, like kind of the way to suddenly be able to have those conversations has just sort of really opened up. You know, some people have joined our network very recently, so they've almost had no friction at all talking to clients or talking to their leadership teams about it. People are open, people are listening. Like you were saying before, like the evidence is out there, like the environmental evidence is there, we're seeing and feeling it. And we're seeing business like Danone, you know, wanting to become a B Corp. We're talking about regenerative leadership, regenerative culture from the CEO. And this is kind of stuff that, like you're saying, you just couldn't imagine a year ago. Now it's people are openly talking about this idea that business as usual has to change, and we have to respond to what we're seeing out there in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty clear thing. I mean, I think for a lot of people, particularly in our industry, advertising is thought to be the sort of the cutting edge of self-interested promotion of capitalism, and we almost pretty much exist to keep the wheel of capitalism spinning faster and faster. you know, I think it's not too much of an exaggeration to say that our job is pretty much to get people to buy things they wouldn't otherwise have bought, and therefore people have to make things to fill that demand. And so we're creating this demand and we're spinning the wheel faster and faster. So I think on sort of in the, you've got this dichotomy between it being an industry where the people in the industry have already been deep inside that please buy a car even though you don't really need a car thing, but also we are the masters of persuasion and the masters of enrolling people in certain kinds of behavior. So do you feel like the tension between those two things has been something that's informed the way you've gone about this?
Yeah, very much so. And the sort of discovering that tension is really important to surface that tension and to acknowledge it. And that's what allows change to happen. You know, if you can talk about this idea of, you know, if our head, you know, what we've been brought up to know is that, you know, we've got to help business grow more and sell more stuff. But then if our hearts are now saying or that might have an impact or a negative impact on our children's future, you know, you've got this tension between what your head and your heart is saying. You're starting to think that's when I think we can start to talk about that creating, starting to create change. So acknowledging that emotion and then deciding what we as individuals, both in our agencies and working with our teams, can do with that. Because I guess you either choose to live with that or you choose to act on it. And that's the thing that kind of we think is really important to surface and allow the space for us to sort of, yeah, figure out what to do. And I guess what you were saying before about advertising sort of being almost being the spearhead of capitalism, and that's very much obviously what has served the industry and why the industry was created or why it was originated from in the 20th century, when that made sense. But now that we're looking at the limitations of growth and what effect that's having on society, what effect that's having on the planet, I think there's an opportunity then for the industry to start to think about what does it want to be in service to? If we ask ourselves the question, what in the world do we want to help create, and then act from there, I think that will lead us to a more interesting space and respond to what we think is required for a zero carbon future.
And I guess, you know, we're having this conversation in mid-October in 2019. And where do you think we are now in terms of making that journey?
I think we're in those early stages of acknowledgement, of acknowledging that something needs to change. And we see evidence of a desire to do something as well with that knowledge. So as an example, at Purpose Disruptors, we've held two climate crisis summits over the last few months. And we've had over 200 people from the London advertising industry come to those events to understand the scale and urgency of what's required, but also to sort of come together to help understand how we as a collective, you know, where we transcend competition, can come together to help understand how we can limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. So there's that desire to do something, and we're seeing initiatives that have come out of those summits. So one of the earliest initiatives to surface was the Create Strike initiative, where we asked CEOs and founders of agencies to allow their staff to go on the global climate strike a few weeks ago, and to apply their creative talents to create placards or create messages that would help amplify that message. So with that letter that was written, we had over 150 signatures from CEOs, from likes of Saatchi's, Ogilvy, Lucky Generals, as a whole range of agencies here in London, and actually a few from the US and mainland Europe. So there's this kind of desire, or they're sort of willing to show they want to do something. But the question next is kind of, what do we need to do? What does meaningful collective action look like? You know, if the UN's saying we need to have unprecedented levels of change at all levels of society, you know, what does unprecedented levels of change and transformation look like for advertising?
Yeah, I think that sentence, just unprecedented levels of change, and the commitments. I think let's just get this out on the table. Like, there's pledges and commitments and things like that. And you and I both know, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, you know, concrete actions are what this is going to take. And I think that, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with people in different agencies about what they can be committed to doing. And I'm not saying I blame them, because it's a very difficult and complicated problem. But I think the big difference between committing to something or pledging to something or saying, yeah, we believe in this, and actually making a difference and taking the almost certainly the sacrifices it will make to make those differences. Do you feel like that extra step is something that's going to take a bit more than where we are right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So what we asked people at the summit to do was to mirror you know, what happens in your evaluation, you know, sort of interview, sort of what do you need to stop doing, what do you need to start doing, what do you need to continue doing. And when we explored what do we need to stop doing, one of the first things that come up was to stop working on high carbon clients. And that's something that, you know, if you're aware, that Futera have also sort of created a pledge around, sort of, you know, that seems to be a significant step that needs to happen, or that is important to happen, to sort of show that we've got to stop making high carbon clients, or clients who are not on board with this, famous, and direct all our energies around the clients who are in that transition to a low carbon future. But yes, it's a difficult conversation to have if those high carbon clients also provide, you know, significant revenue for agency. Again, there's huge tension for CEOs and leaders. How do you resolve that? But I always feel it's kind of almost an inevitability around this, that, you know, we will see the impacts of climate change only become stronger over the next few years. And that be directed to those businesses which are essentially the cause of that. So I think there's almost an inevitability to us, in the same way how we are responding to, or in the past, to tobacco clients. You know, it's that same kind of tension or unwillingness to work on that type of client. I think we'll start the service quite quickly for high carbon emitting clients.
Yeah, I mean, I find is it too late to have that kind of level of, I guess, prevarication or inaction in that way? I mean, I think people, you know, people listening to this and reading the papers also are like, okay, things aren't too bad. There's a hurricane here or there, or, you know, there's a bit of problem with droughts here and there. But really, as far as I get this, living in London or New York or LA or lots of countries and cities around the world, it's not really making a big difference to my life. And yet, if you read deeper into the thing, you know, this situation's already in the post. It's on its way, that it's going to be unlivable for, you know, it's no exaggeration to say at least a billion people on the planet are now in some way condemned to deal with those circumstances in a way that will either have them have to migrate or basically not continue living. And I feel like when we're having these chats, there's a kind of balance between not wanting to scare the shit out of everybody, because that will lead to paralysis, and letting them know that we really are, you know, on the things we're dealing with now are the things that
that were created, you know, several years ago by the climate situation. It takes a while for things to take effect. I use this analogy, like when you're out in a bar, you're half an hour drunker than you think you are because the drink you just had is still waiting to take effect. And if we as a planet are going, oh, well, you know, things are whatever. Well, we're dealing with 2013's pollution right now. We're dealing with 2014. What's going on in 2017, 18 and 19 is what will cause massive problems in 2025. And if we're not aware of that, we're screwed. But the paralysis versus the immediacy of feeling it's an emergency, you need to operate. Again, that's a difficult balance to maintain. Do you think you found that in terms of trying to talk to people about it?
Yeah, absolutely. You can only sort of, you know, you can sort of see that in the response people have to the language Greta Thunberg uses. Mm. So in the space that I'm in and people who are closely connected and understand the reality of the climate emergency, you know, we're totally understand and connect with the language that Greta Thunberg uses. But if you're unfamiliar with that scale and urgency, and you're, you know, the response is, you know, she's frightening my children, it's not helpful. So I guess the kind of understanding that there's a balance around sharing the reality, but sharing it with a real strong care of duty, and something that I'm very conscious of is when we talk about, when I talk about this with my teammates or with clients, or when we hold our purpose at the summits, is kind of being conscious of the fact that for some people this is sort of very difficult to process, and it's important for people to know that we, as advertising industry insiders, have been through that process, and we're still in the industry because we believe we can, you know, we can make a difference with the skills that we have. So one more game with this. Yeah, I'm just sort of saying that it's about just sort of being honest with the reality, but then also protecting or sort of having that strong care of duty with people. To acknowledge the emotion that comes from understanding the scale of this. And this other idea, I love your analogy around, you know, being in the pub and a pint of beer taking a half an hour to kick into effect. Sort of this idea of talking about we must tackle or solve climate crisis, that's almost the wrong language. It's now about mitigation, isn't it? It's kind of like this is happening. It's now about, you know, how can we reduce the impacts of climate change.
I think that's it. I think if people don't realise that at the moment, I mean, I think what people probably aren't even, millions of people probably aren't even aware of is the refugee crisis coming from Syria over the last few years that upended so many political things in Europe was a direct result of the climate crisis, in that the droughts that were caused in that part of the world, which is obviously going to feel it much more, you know, anywhere near the equator is going to take this on faster. You know, people weren't able to grow crops, so they moved to the cities, and that caused a huge amount of, you know, civil unrest and disobedience, and there weren't places for everybody, so those people left. And then you have the West creating the climate crisis that Syria has to deal with, and then the consequences make their way person by person to the rest of Europe. And instead of burying our heads in the sand and saying, what's this got to do with us? It's very, very difficult to say to people, all those decisions you made in terms of keeping your lights on a bit longer or turning the thermostat up a bit higher or driving your car a bit further or whatever it happens to be, there's a direct line from that to the refugees coming at your door right now. And people don't want to, you know, they said, well, all I did was a few little things. Now, what have I got to do with, like, I can't, we've got to now pay for these people to, like, have healthcare and somewhere to live and whatever. And you go, well, kind of, yeah. The bill is now due. The check is now sitting in front of you. You've had the meal. You had the good times. And it's the same with China. You go, let's not do any manufacturing. China and Taiwan can do that instead. And then we go, China, why are you producing so much pollution? You're going, well, you're not producing the pollution because we're producing the pollution to make the stuff you need. And so there's all this, like, I think the remoteness for a lot of people is problematic. And I think, you know, it's very easy for people to go, you know, I just did a tiny thing. Why do I have to deal with this? And I think the communication of that is a very complicated and very, it's not like people hear that and go, oh my God, you're right, I should now be nicer to refugees. No one's doing that. They're all going, what? I didn't realize when I was turning my thermostat up that I'd have a million refugees on my doorstep. You go, well, this is it. So it's very, very difficult messages to get across to people. Do you find that that's going to be a real crux of the thing? It's literally not just take these actions and you're fine. It's like there is some unpalatable truths you've got to be aware of and accepting of before we really make progress on this thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ben. I mean, what I've discovered and what I've learned as I've explored sustainability and climate science is this idea that over the last few generations, we've kind of lost our connection with the living world and with others. It's kind of we've been quite disconnected from what you're saying, the impact that we have in the life that we lead, how that impacts the natural world, how that impacts other sections of society across the other side of the world. And I think part of the conversation that we have a lot is around what needs to change, or how do we create the change that needs to happen? Is it, as some people say, it's about behaviour first, attitude second? You know, just think about that. Really clever behavior change campaigns and behavior change ideas, and the attitude and the shift will come afterwards. Or is it more about, is there a shift in human understanding and human consciousness that's required for us to connect back with the living world and to understand that we're not separate from it, we're not separate from each other, and we're all connected together? That's kind of the conversation that we often have. Purpose disruptors is what's, or is it a combination of both of those things? I don't know.
Well, I mean, what you're saying there is an interesting thing with the world of advertising. I think advertising and its essence, and again, you know, if you work in advertising, or you have over the last however many years, your one ad didn't do this, but your participation in an industry which I think to a great degree has separated people. You know, you look at posters of things and you go, you're not that. Therefore, you're not enough. Therefore, you should buy that thing. And whether it's having the right body or the right iPhone or the right whatever it happens to be, you know, the point of advertising is to present things as not being right in your life, presenting problems that will be solved by consumerism. And so we've got this situation where, you know, that's a really tricky thing for, because I think what you're saying about us being connected is 100% true. And it's probably, again, you're going to have to take people on a bit of a journey to go, yeah, we're all the original stardust of the universe.
And yeah, I think we're all from stardust, absolutely. Yeah.
The connection that we all ought to be making as human beings, either with ourselves or with nature or both, is fundamental to our existence in our DNA, in our lives, in the way that we feel. It's why we feel good looking at a waterfall or being together in a community that has purpose. But advertising almost needs to totally change everything it's done, because the messages we've given people are, you are now, you know, let me just tell you, you're not quite right because you don't have this. And that is a dividing thing, and a separation is obviously something that's caused a huge number of problems. And for people then to go, okay, I'm cool with advertising now telling me something else. Like, it's like having someone gaslighting you. You've got this entire industry where you go, well, I've been treating you like this for ages. Oh, now I'm just going to tell you, sorry about that. Can you now do this instead? I can understand why people would be skeptical and mistrustful of that. Do you think that's a thing?
Yeah. I've not seen it like that perspective of, yeah, used to gaslighting, but I can see where you're coming from. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, it's a really interesting point.
Well, I don't want to like make this all like, you know, so the one thing I want to mention to anyone who's listening is there's a fascinating book about this called oh my God, I keep forgetting the name of it, by George Marshall. It's got one of those, don't even think about it. Brilliant, I remembered. In 250 very entertaining pages, everybody buy it and read it, talks about the psychological problems that people go through to avoid doing something about the climate crisis. And it's whether, like, you go, oh, well, my little thing's not going to make any difference, so what's the point? Or we're already fucked, so what's the point? Or, you know, there's some skepticism about whether it really is that bad. And, you know, if you look at the temperatures in this way, are we really, you know, is it going to happen in 20 years? What's the sea level? This and that. And so there's all these things we go through almost in those seven stages of crisis or five stages of crisis, where it's bargaining, anger, acceptance, all those sorts of things. So looking at it as a wider psychological situation can also be, I guess, both powerful and, you know, it just opens another door and another box to another set of kind of difficulties in this communication. Have you talked to people about the best ways to present these communications in that they would be persuasive and enrolling? Because it's not just, hey, can you buy a Kit Kat or can you, you know, buy an Audi? This is really, really complicated stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And in the conversations that I've been having now and in Mindshare and something that we're launching very soon, this idea which speaks to this question, is an initiative called Change the Brief. And that's a rallying call for our clients to actually to deliver or give us a brief that's fit for a future world.
Here's something I find kind of weird. Like, a lot of the time we were getting in touch with people in agencies, particularly in London, they were going, yes, we should use our position as people in advertising to persuade our clients and tell our clients that this is a problem. And I was sitting there going, every client knows what's going on with the climate crisis. Either they've been persuaded about it or they haven't. But the idea that they go to their ad agency and their ad agency says, hey, guys, you may not have read anything about this, but there's a fucking big climate crisis that's on the doorstep that you might want to do something about. I was like, that seems really weird to me. It seems that advertising agencies don't hold that position when it comes to their clients so much. I mean, maybe on how to sell stuff, but to take a moral stance or to take a proactive or purposeful stance doesn't feel like it's the position of advertising agencies. Advertising agencies would be more about how do we make you guys look good and how do we go from there. So I found it weird that that was what so many of them were kind of, that's the angle we should be taking. I'm like, that sounds ridiculously optimistic and kind of misplaced to me. Do you feel like that's a way forward with persuading clients?
To take a moral stance?
Well, to be the, you know, as the position agencies have, do we have a leg to stand on in terms of talking to clients that way? And surely they know anyway what the situation is.
What we can do, and perhaps just to reframe the conversation slightly, is what we do well in advertising is tell our clients about culture, about future, and just sort of, what we're exploring is this idea of just talking about this as the future. This is as inevitable as digital disruption was 20 years ago. And talking about it in that sort of terms, and I think is one approach, and it's an approach that we at Mindshare are taking, and have developed this initiative called Change the Brief, which is an initiative which is a rallying call to our clients. It's something which it commits us to show our clients the ideas, strategies that bring this future forward into the present. What it essentially does, it's a way of allowing us to respond to any brief with standard response to that brief that serves that brief, but also an alternative response which promotes the attitudes, the lifestyles and behaviours that lead to a net zero emission society. So promotes those sort of small changes within clients' audiences. That sort of at scale make a significant difference. So that's kind of an approach that we're seeing is kind of that has emerged very recently, is this idea of talking about this as a future event, as a piece of culture that's happening, as that people and audiences will start to respond to that. So the question is, clients, you know, as advisors to your business, you know, this is happening, and we're suggesting that you need to respond to that. But there is also a case for sort of, I talked about it briefly earlier, this shift from being very, very morally neutral to holding that question, or that shift in thinking, or that shift in our way of being as an industry, from being, I guess, hired guns that, you know, we do what our clients tell us to do, to being change agents, to understanding the power and influence that we have in the world, and deciding what we want to do as an industry, as businesses, as business leaders, in the face of that. Because I guess once you understand the scale and urgency of climate crisis, you know, you have to respond to that question: what do you do, and how do you act from that?
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that, in terms of an industry perspective, a lot of companies have been dipping their toes in the water, or jumping right into the world of a kind of purpose-based advertising, whether it's Fearless Girl or Like a Girl the Gillette Best a Man Can Get kind of stuff. And I think the two are somewhat related and unrelated at the same time, by which I mean, you know, I find it kind of rich being lectured morally by a large corporation, because I think they've all got enough skeletons in their closet that, I mean, it's fine that they've suddenly found a sort of moral perspective on certain things, that they've been the problem rather than the solution for a long time, which makes it kind of hard to kind of stomach a little bit in terms of what they're saying.
Yeah.
But we now have a situation where corporations are as powerful, if not more powerful, than governments, and they have that position to take. I feel like where they've gone so far, whether it's Kendall Jenner and the can of Pepsi.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess on the purpose thing, I mean, what we've seen in the last few years, I think, is kind of the very early stages of this shift, or this transformation that we're seeing in the business world and in the advertising world. And for now, we've given it the label purpose. And it's kind of like if it's the early stages of childhood, we're in that kind of toddler stage. You know, we've made mistakes like the Pepsi campaign. That we're kind of in those early stages, and what it's transforming into is kind of, we haven't yet got the name for it yet. But I think we're making the connection now with our role in driving consumption, and the connection with climate change. So we're seeing a shift happening, and I think purpose has kind of almost been like the guardrails, or the kind of those early stages of toddlerhood. Yes. That's to sort of sense and make our way in this new space and try to understand what role do we have. And I guess for clients as well, who have kind of jumped on the purpose bandwagon, it's often been about, the question they're holding is, how can we do more good? But perhaps a more powerful question would be, how can we do less harm? And start from that.
Yeah.
We start from that. That's the more powerful question for business to hold, if they're to be truly purposeful.
Yeah, I think that's true. The other thing that seems to have come out of my looking into this subject a lot more is that there needs to be a lot of solutions to this. There is not going to be one magic bullet that suddenly gets everyone in the world to get regenerative, or stop eating beef, or stop traveling so much, or whatever. You know, you've got a big spectrum of people, and we all need to take part in the solution that this is going to be. But if you've got climate deniers at one end and tree-hugging hippies at the other, and everyone else in between, it's very difficult to make sure the communications that you make will be enrolling, persuasive, and inspiring to lots of different people. So it's going to take different solutions. Have you come across that as a kind of element of what your conversations have been in terms of talking to clients or agencies about how to tackle this?
there's a need for something we've identified for deeper research that helps us identify those sections of society who, on one scale, are kind of living that future now. You know, what drives them, and then how can we apply that knowledge to either apply that client's brands and services to that audience, who I will only grow. There's an inevitability around that, I imagine. Or what can we learn from that audience and apply that to more mainstream audiences? And then there's interesting research that is being done around understanding the value action gap. You know, if you're familiar with this idea that we often say one thing around our values in this space around sustainability and living a greener life, and the actual reality of our behaviours. And the question is sort of, what does that gap look like across different categories, different audiences, different parts of the world? So that's something we know, but sort of, I know clients are conscious of, and that's something that we talk about as well, both at Mindshare and at Purpose Disruptors, is kind of, what's that kind of agenda setting piece of audience understanding that will enable us to I guess create the maximum impact with this work as well. Because I guess the other thing is kind of thinking about what percentage of the population do you need to influence, or do you need to inspire, I guess, with the idea of making living with less not feel like loss. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest questions that we can answer, or that we can explore as an industry. How do we make that happen? Have we made that a reality? And what percentage of the population do we need to inspire with that idea that this is a positive life to lead, and how that will influence the rest of society? Yeah,
I think that positivity is a huge, huge thing. I mean, I think there's a very doom casting element to where we think we're going with this, but it may get worse before it gets better. It may take a while to get to this point, but a regenerative world that is powered by solar energy or wind or whatever, and the cleanliness that will come from that, and the lack of I think we've got ourselves actually into a point that maybe we don't really want to be deep down, and the idea that this is a course correction that might be an unpleasant 10 or 20 years, but if you think about a positive conclusion to it, or a positive next stage where the world is cleaner, the air is easier to breathe, we are healthier as people, we're not as dependent on consumerism or, mindless consumption of products for no particular reason, the mental health situations that people are suffering from in terms of things like Instagram and social media and all that kind of stuff, that we've got ourselves into a bit of a situation that I don't think people are necessarily as happy as they could be. And perhaps we'll if we get together in trying to solve this problem, the community that brings and the world that creates will actually be a far better place than we're in right now.
That feels right, Ben. I mean, on that last point, this is about getting together and working this out together, and no one agency, no one individual, no one organization, or even set of organizations have the answer to this, but it's about coming together and seeking collective action. And it's to the point around this idea of regeneration or regenerative economy. I mean, that for a lot of people is this idea that that's the next shift in how we look at the world, from purely about growth to being regenerative, to giving more back into the world than we take out. That's kind of a really compelling concept, but obviously the question is, how do we make that happen? How do we lead? And how do we, as what does regenerative leadership look like? For us, it's about connecting with, or for me, it's about connecting with my inner values and the things that matter to me, and then allowing those to sort of guide and sense my actions out there with the people I work with, and the work that we're doing with the Purpose Disruptors, sort of allowing those inner values and those that energy to sort of enable you to create that, just the outer work, the campaigns, the ideas, organising events, all of that work, all of that sort of stuff that's manifested from your beliefs and from your values. And that's kind of, that's a new way of thinking, that's a new way of leadership. And that stuff's to be explored, as well as, regenerative brands. What do they look like? What is a regenerative agency? That's a question we're holding as well. What does that look like? So that shift from perhaps as being purpose-led or growth-led to being regenerative, that's kind of, that would be an interesting shift that we'd see in the industry, I'd say.
Yeah, and I'd also, I mean, I think there'll be people listening to this who are going, like, I think people want there to be an open door to what the solutions are. And they go, if I knew what I was supposed to do, I would do it. And I don't just mean, I think there's lots of people, whether you're recycling or driving less or traveling less. I think there are people, particularly in advertising, who go, yes, I have these skills. What do I do with them? It's as if there was like an RSPCA, but for the climate crisis, as in one organization. When you think welfare of animals, you think RSPCA, even though there are a bunch of other ones. And I think the way it's been fragmented gives, again, people a paralysis or an excuse not to get involved. But what you're saying about leadership is really important, that there's no reason for anyone to feel anything other than this is their time to step up. This is their time to talk to, do smaller actions about... I was watching Spider-Man Far From... whatever the one that came out this summer was called. And they made a joke about vegetarian lasagna. Vegetarian lasagna was like a punchline. Because it was like, it's seen as a bad lasagna or a daft lasagna or a, kind of thing that you'd eat if there was nothing else around. And it's tiny things like that. Everyone watching that Marvel film is laughing at, oh yeah, vegetarian lasagna, that's a silly thing. And therefore your mind is put in a place where you go, yeah, vegetarian alternatives, they're a bit daft, aren't they? I remember watching that Marvel film where everyone in the cinema laughed at that. Whereas, that there are things in terms of leadership or the difference you can make, and there's so many different ones, that you can go, well, let's make sure the food that features in our commercial is vegetarian instead of big fat sausages. Let's make sure that the language we use and the things people are wearing and the messages they have. I'll give you an example. I wear Veja sneakers, and I don't know if everyone else is aware of them, but they're this very sustainable brand that are... ecologically friendly, ecologically sound, and they're great, and they look really good. A friend of mine who lives nearby is a big sneakerhead, and our whole family's been wearing Veja for over a year, and gradually, we saw him on Saturday, he's got a pair of Vejas. So I think we need to realize the leadership positions that we all have on a day-to-day, action-by-action basis, that whether it's big, small, or medium, we can all make little incremental changes or big incremental changes. You don't have to give up your job necessarily, but you can shift the conversation in the direction it needs to go in with, but being conscious of all the actions you're taking and the way that they're perceived.
It's totally that. It's about asking yourself, what can you do from where you stand, from wherever you sit within the advertising ecosystem, whether you're in your production system or an ECD or wherever, what is it that you can do? What can you influence? What are those conversations you can have with clients or the rest of your production? Whoever you sit, what is it? How is it that you can influence? And we have this phrase, Purpose Disruptors. We say, we are the leaders we've been waiting for. Sort of this understanding that there's no one out there going to come and save us and this stuff. Once you connect with this and you understand the reality of not only the climate crisis, but also understand, the responsibility that we have in advertising to direct our creativity and our strategic firepower to make a difference. It's down to us to to act. And what we're really keen on happening is creating this sort of bottom-up movement of people who are really connected with this and who come together and we transcend that false competition that we have. I guess it's inherent in our industry. That's sort of a key characteristic of where we work, competition. But how do we transcend that for the greater cause? and that's something that's been really interesting to start to see that emerge out of this work that we've been doing at the summits. We've got 6 or 7 different groups working on really interesting and impactful action to help us work out what can we do collectively.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that there are Greta Thunbergs out there, there are Extinction Rebellions out there, there are, you know, Guardian Climate pages out there. There's lots and lots of different things you can do. So the idea that anyone listening to this, who particularly people who work in advertising, you've already got a head start on everyone in terms of your ability to communicate and even your access to the mouthpieces you might need. So if Greta Thunberg can do it, there's absolutely no excuse for anyone to think that they are incapable or not powerful enough, or what do I do? There are many, many paths many people can take. And I think that that's something that, you know, should be empowering for people to realize that, you know, that there's all this stuff going on all over the place, and there are many, many, many ways to skin a cat. And there's no reason why you can't have an idea in the next 10 seconds that is something that makes a huge difference to the entire human race. When we're at this precipice whereby, you know, there's a lot of space for a lot of great ideas and a lot of great communication. And so be the change you want to see in the world is a cliche now, but there's no reason why it isn't relevant.
Yeah. And all these ideas, they all have a role to play sort of in this big, wide landscape, I guess, of the change movements, of the people who are working to create this change. So from Extinction Rebellion, who, you know, you could say cage rattlers, you know, they've created noise, and I guess they've allowed, what's been really effective for the role that they've played is allowed people like us, I know the work that you've been doing in the States as well, created the space for us to become visible. Or to surface. You know, we've all been working in this and thinking about this for a while now. But what they've done is allowed that conversation to happen in culture out there, and then allow for movements and other organisations to become visible. And that's an effective role for that, for Extinction Rebellion. And Greta Thunberg's been a great sort of focal point as well, for younger people. So there's all these different players, and we can all make a difference. We can all create, like you say, that change we want to see in the world.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're getting towards the end of this. I just wondered if there was anything else you wanted to say or point people in the direction of to, you know, lead to, you know, possibly more or greater action, or to your own sites or organisations, or if they're going, I want to get involved, I like what this guy's saying, what now?
So I know you have is your audience predominantly from the US, Ben? Is that
no,
right?
I think they're mostly from the UK, actually. So they're from all sorts of places, but I think mainly the UK.
We have a website, purposedisruptors.org. We plan to hold events similar to our previous summits to allow people to, I guess, say, cross the threshold, understand what other people are doing, and join collective action. But there's one other thing, actually, Ben, I wanted to talk about,
yep.
which is happening next year, mm-hmm. Sort of having got the sense that there is a desire to do something, that we have, like I say, 160 signatures who signed up, from CEOs who signed up to our open letters around Create Strike and the Climate Crisis Summits, is we have this idea of our next big action is to hold a climate change commission next year to allow those leaders who step forward, who sign those letters, to work together just with that single agenda of climate, and hold each other to account to understand what is that change that's required, what is that unprecedented level of change that's required in the industry. And I guess to sort of hold different and new alternative spaces for this to build and to form new ways, new forms of community. For us all to sort of work together to come up with that meaningful action that we talk about. So we're going to be holding another event end of November with an invitation to those CEOs and founders to come to that event and for us all to work out together what that climate change commission might look like next year.
Great. Well, that's it. There are actions and there are access points. So I'd encourage anyone to seek you out and seek out what you're trying to do, because I think you can point people in whatever direction they need to go in. People should think about all the actions they take in all areas of what they're doing and the impact those actions might have. They could think about what's going on in their office, what's going on in their company. The Guardian just became a B Corp, so I think it's fascinating that Unilever's trying to do it as well. And I think if they can do it and they're moving in that direction, there's really no reason not to. And as a basic, simple thing, this is all our futures. And you can detach and say it's pointless or hopeless or you're bored of it or anything like that if you want. But this is, if you've got kids or if you're planning on being alive in the next 20 years, this is relevant to you and therefore relevant to pretty much everybody. I mean, I think even when people who are, say, 70 are going, I find, you know, I get a little bit less engagement from people of that age, and you go, you've still got a very good chance to have to live through some pretty terrible consequences of this. So think about it and think about the actions you can take. And hopefully if we all do this together, I'd love to think it was a way of human connection really necessarily happening and leading to a better world for everyone, no matter how John Lennon-y that sounds.
We'll have that rocking chair moment. We can tell our kids we did our bit.
Yeah, we were there. Rather than, yeah, okay. That's great. So huge thanks for your time, Robert. I'll put this together, edit out any little hiccups from either my end or your end, and we'll just get this out to people to see if they can, you know, make a difference. If any of them want to get in touch with you, that's fantastic. If they want to get in touch with me and I'll point them in the right direction, particularly in America, the same. And let's hope we can make a difference.
That's great, Ben. No, thank you. Really good. Really enjoyed that.
My pleasure. Have a lovely evening, and let's speak again soon.
Cheers, Ben.
Okay. Bye. Cheers, Rob. Bye.
Bye.
This is a podcast that watched Christmas.